Okay, we are up to Perek Mem Aleph. We are up to Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, Lo Acharish Badav Udvar Gvuros Vichin Erko. Okay, so the Pasuk says, I will not be silent with regard to Badav. Badav literally means a branch. We'll see two perushim what this means in a moment. Udvar gvuros, I will not be silent with regard, or there's a kriv chsif. Lo acharish, the way it's spelled is I will not. The way we read it is lo to him acharish badav. Udvar gvuros, the matter of zmait. And the grace, chin comes from the word chain, even though there's a yud in the middle. Erko means his value. Now, what does this pasuk mean? So let's go take a look at the pasuk down first, then it's just one thing at a time. There's a very great difference of opinion between the Mitzudas and Rashi. Mitzudas says, L'acharish, ko'imer hine, bamash, according to the Mitzudas, we're beginning now an entirely new theme. Not entirely new, but it's a break point. And Hashem says that until now, I've already explained these last number of psukim from everything in this parak and a good chunk of the previous parak. This I've described to you in detail the nature of the Leviathan. And I'm giving you the Leviathan as a mashal. I'm using the Leviathan as a tool to give you Musar, to give Eov Musar. Eov, you complain. Eov, you think you're an equal with me. You think you can demand that I come with you to a Bezdin for a Din Torah. You have a very low opinion of me. That's really what Hashem is saying. You don't think that I'm anything special. I'm God. I rule the world. But Eov, you think you can do just the good of a job, and you don't have the yiras. Even though it's possible in the beginning of the Eve said that Eve was a Yorei Elokim, but you don't have pachat. You have fear, but you don't have really recognize the true nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to that Hashem says, let's just look at one of my creatures, or two creatures, the Behemoth and the Leviathan, and acknowledge that you would melt in the presence of the Leviathan. And if that is true, Allah has come to come, how much more you would be terrified in my presence.
But it is. Hashem is not just saying one thing to him. He's saying, we're talking three parakim already. Is it back and forth? I mean, what's he? Hashem doesn't have to prove anything. He could have said one or two items, and that was enough. He could have said, I have the Leviathan, I have the Sharabah. He didn't have to go into the details that you can't cut it. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. There's a lot. I know. We're not even finished. We're just getting started with the Leviathan. Okay. So obviously, there's more. Okay. There's more depth in the Leviathan. That's obvious. Okay. But on a very simple level, let us see what the Mitzvah says. So the Mitzvah says, "Aloy Acharish Ko'imer." This means to say, "Hine." I have already explained to you. I've described to you in detail the Leviathan. Well, let me just turn this a little bit lower. Make noise. Shesvaduch liyesh from dai lohashiv al mamarecha. It's enough. I've already responded more than enough. It is sufficient. My response to you has been sufficient. What I've already said in the previous parakim. Yet the im kol zeh lo eshtoik milasaper lucha od mimiflos halaviyosin. I choose to tell you more. I've already done my duty. I've told you enough, but I want to express more of the wonders of Yasan mituchunos evarav from the tuchuna, from the nature of its limbs. So the Mitzudas here is telling us that the word badov means the limbs. The subject of the pasuk is the Leviathan, and the Leviathan has massive body parts. The inyan hagvuros asher bo, and the mighty characteristic of this creature, the chin erko, its graceful worth. It's a creature that's, even though it's a terrifying creature, but it has seemingly some charisma, some grace, some type of redeeming quality, ergo its value, its worth, mul relative sha'or hanivroim to other creatures, leman taskil, why am I now going on to elaborating upon the nature of the Leviathan? in order that you should understand Yoiser Migidulos Roy Mosi, more about my exaltedness, my greatness. And through realizing, recognizing my greatness, you will become humbled, and you will recognize that it's not your place to question my ways and to challenge me as to why I allow you to suffer. That is the way the Mitzudos are. So the first thing we have to understand is the word lo, the Mitzudos does not seem to take note of the difference of the Kri v'Ksiv. The Kri is, the Ksiv is Lamed Aleph. I will not. The way it's pronounced is I will. Lo to it. To it, I will. Acharish doesn't then make sense according to the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, he just seems to be saying, I'm not gonna be quiet. I will continue to relate to you the characteristics of the Leviosan. I will not be quiet. The Mitzudos again is not acknowledging that there is in this pasuk a kri uchsif, and that is something that's interesting to take note of. Okay, and then Badov, what?
Yeah. Because the worst things happen to you.
Yeah.
Nothing, all of us might have had a little bit to us. But everything happened.
Right.
He lost his wealth, he lost his family.
But he didn't become a poor, he didn't become an oni. That's one thing that never happened to him. That has
all. Well, we read it.
Right.
We actually know about that.
Right.
But the thing is, all of us, so just got some muscle that you should never, no matter how bad things get in your life, never question Hashem's. I mean, it's pretty much a muscle. Right?
Yeah. That's,
in other words, they went to the extreme on you. The extreme happened to him, and he's crying. Why are you doing this to me? And so now Hashem is saying, don't question me. It's really musa for everybody.
Of course, that's why we're learning Eif.
That's what Eif is. It's a musa. The whole thing is musa, you know.
Absolutely.
Baruch Hashem, most of us are not going to go through what Eif went through. And he questioned Hashem. We go through nothing and we question.
Exactly.
Your stock went down. The stock market crashed. You're crying, you know.
Exactly.
The worst happened to him. So really, basically, the whole Eif, it's just a musa to everybody.
Absolutely.
That's all.
100%. You're on the mark. 100%. Okay, so this is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Badav means his body parts. The chin eriko, the subject, is the grace of, and its value is the Leviosan, and Hashem is the speaker in this pasuk. I will not be quiet. I will continue to elaborate and describe the Leviosan in more great detail. And by analyzing the Leviosan, a person, and specifically Eif, will be humbled to the greatness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and will stop from challenging Hashem. Rashi learns the pasuk very differently. He learns that this pasuk dal is a continuation of pasuk gimel. Okay, we learned yesterday the very popular pasuk Mi Higdimani Va'ashalem Tachas Kol Hashemayim Lihu. The previous pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eif, and Hashem is speaking, he's not discussing at the moment the Leviathan. He's discussing the fact that in this world HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the first step. He bestows upon man a chesed, upon man bracha, and then man reciprocates by doing a mitzvah. Now, who is going to be rewarded for that mitzvah? So this pasuk says, lo, again, Rashi also seems to say that if I'm not mistaken, Rashi also is not acknowledging that there is a kri v'ksif. Rashi says, lo acharish badov. Badov means a person's children, the tzaddik's children. A badov is a branch, and a branch of a person are his children. I will not deny the reward that the father is meant to receive, but at times, instead of giving the reward to the parents, I will bestow the reward upon their children. Lo acharish al banov, I will not be silent concerning the tzaddik's children, shel tzaddik, shehalach lefonai betavim, who lived a life of pureness, of wholesomeness before me, ulebanov yishalmenu sochar tov avihem, and to their children I will repay their reward. V'yimtzu toiva bizchuso, and they will find good in the merit of their father. Now, so what this with this, let's read the next. Dvar gvuras v'chin erikol, and the matter of his might and the grace of his ways. The dvar gvuraso, referring to the tzaddik. A tzaddik is called the gibor. He's a mighty person in this that he was able to overcome his yetzer hara and do tzedak of a chesed. Asher niskaber lasos hatov v'hayashar. He was successful in prevailing upon his. Is yetzer hara to do toiva yashar, v'cha usechinas sidur shel tzadik ashalim schoro gam lebonav achav. So usechinas means chain, or the goodness of erkoi means his arrangement. I think there's a very very sophisticated way of saying his good deeds. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be sure to pay the good deeds of a tzaddik, not necessarily to him, but to his children. Ashalim schor gam lebonav, also to his children afterwards. Badav, Rashi says, enough of his branches. And in this context, it means vehein bonav, this means his children. Kmo v'tas badim v'sishlach peros, it will make branches and send forth shoots. So again, it means a branch. In this context, it means the children. So according to Rashi, Rashi is saying that we're not discussing here the Levyasan. Hashem over here is finishing off from his discussion of the Levyasan in the previous parak. Hashem first describes the Levyasan, and then Hashem says that now you should be humble before me, and you should recognize that I have done for you goodness, and I will reward you, and I will reward your children. This, to some degree, is a very great answer to Eve's question. How could it be? I've been such a good person my entire life, and you have not rewarded me. You have denied my reward.
But all his children are killed out.
Okay, that's part of the question. So maybe it was Hashem has said you're gonna have children in the future, which he will have. But it does not. The questions are much greater than the answers. But Hashem, to some degree, is telling over here is that the tzaddik does not necessarily get the reward. The reward is put away in a safe in a fund for the children, and the children are going. That doesn't really answer the question because every person deserves that he should be rewarded and punished himself. Why does it have to channel over to the children? The children,
punishment,
but reward. But even reward, why should a person? I'm not saying it shouldn't be done.
A person might prefer that.
What?
A person might.
But why should the child deserve it? Okay, maybe the parent prefers that his children should have it better. But why, according to Hashem's rule, his rule book, should a person be rewarded for something he did not do?
Right. What do you mean? Because just as Hashem says, I will punish them until the next generations. If they carry on in your ways.
In your ways. So who says here the children are carrying on in the ways of their parents? And even if the children are carrying on the ways of the parents, why? Why should a person have benefit in this world for something that he did not do? Even though he is following in the ways of his father, but the bulk of his success is only in the merit of someone else's good deeds.
How do you know it's the bulk of his success?
That's what it says. It says over here.
Father makes $1 million.
Okay, so it's one thing. So one thing we're dealing with money in this world. Okay, Yerusha. But a person has good fortune. He has good. He has success. His success. We all see people today that are no. We all wonder why was this person? Did he merit to achieve success? Whether it's in business. Or in whatever, all different types of ventures. Why? So the answer must be zuchus avos. But the person himself, we look at him and we say, him? Does he really, on his own, he couldn't last for 5 minutes? It's only because someone is pushed, even in politics. Okay, let's go, okay, go look at the Bushes, okay? George W. Why is George W. present? You can tell me it's not because his father. His father pushed him into a certain degree, to a very large degree. And there are a lot of politicians like that. A lot of people, they get into places that has to be there's something going on behind the scenes. Obama. It has to be. He has chosen. You can't say not.
You can't say
not. You can't. But he has chosen. There has to be. Are they his chusim? Are they some? We don't know how these things work. It doesn't make sense. That's the way the world works. Why is that so? It's a big mystery. The pasuk is not answering, but the pasuk here is at least telling us that's the way it is. At least Hashem says this in his own words. This is not Moshe speaking. This is not a Navi speaking. This is Hashem himself speaking. Hashem says, Lo acharish badof. I will not deny the reward that is due to his children. Udvar gvuros, in reward for the mighty good deeds of his father. The chin, the grace, erko, and of his value the father has earned. I will not deny that the children should receive reward. Powerful pasuk.
But exactly how that works.
We don't know. That is not explained. That is a mystery. That is a mystery. Yeah.
I refer you to the Mincha Shai.
Yeah.
There is a very big thing. He says, most times you go according to the Creed explanation, and everybody's here is going according to
the Ksif. What's going on? Yeah.
He says, first of all, he found gears in some Sfarim that did not have.
Okay.
But the second is, he looks like he's taking Rashi's shot, and he's referring it to the previous passage. Nigdimuni, we'll talk about Avraham Avinu.
Okay.
And because Avraham Avinu was quiet and did not respond...
Okay, that's a medrash. I know, you're referring to a medrash Tanchuma. Yeah, I have the Tanchuma here. I have it, but it's a very difficult Tanchuma. I couldn't...
He learns the law in two ways. For his children, I will not be quiet. Of course I'll be quiet. This was the father.
Who's quiet? What was Avraham quiet for? When was Avraham quiet? When I told him, take Yitzchak and offer him as a sacrifice. And Yitzchak did not challenge me. So Midah, Keneged Midah, when his children do things that are deserving of punishment, or speak to me in a disrespectful way, lo, on behalf of Avraham, on behalf of his children, acharish, I will be silent.
Or you can say with a halach that, with a question mark, I won't be quiet for the children of Avraham.
Yeah.
Just like he was.
Okay, that's with the law with an aleph.
Right.
But the law with the vav is a medrash. It's not pshat. He's citing from a medrash, which is a very difficult medrash. Okay, I have it here. Medrash Tanchuma Parsha Vayera Simen Yud. And in a Chanami, lo acharish is on behalf of the Klal Yisrael, the children of Avram, I will be quiet. Okay, all right. So you have another mahalach. Correct. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk, according to all opinions, at least from Mitzvot and Rashi, we are returning to the story of the Leviyos. According to the Mitzvot, we have already returned to the Leviyos and the pasuk Dalid. That was the subject of pasuk Dalid, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to describe the Gvuros, the Chin Eriko of the Leviyos. And according to Rashi, that we have been describing the Tzaddik, but now he agrees, we're now going to turn our attention to the Leviyos and describe him in much more detail.
Is a separate parak because it stops talking about the Leviathan, breaks away, talks about some other things for a few seconds, and then comes back.
But Pasuk Aleph is still a reference to the Leviathan. It would then make sense to start with Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Okay, the only one, Rabbi Eisenman, he has a mahalach why there should be a parak break. He says, I don't really have clarity, but he says it seems to be changing in Pasuk Aleph. We change from the first person to second person. Yeah. All right, but it is a little bit of a mystery. Pasuk, we're now going to describe in very great detail the Leviyos. We'll try to go through this quickly. All the different characteristics. Mi gila pene levusho. Who would dare attempt to reveal the cover of its levush? In other words, who would try to cut a piece of meat off the leviathan to flay its skin or to take some of its scales? Who would dare? Bechefel risno miyav. Who would go near its lips? It's a very interesting expression. These words, bechefel means doubling. What part of the body is doubled? The lips. But any part of them, two ears, there are two eyes, two hands, two feet, only one, there are two nostrils in the nose, but even though it's only one nose, but everything is doubled. Here we say double, referring to something that is horizontal, and that is the lips. Resen means the harness. on a horse, the bridle, the harness, where do we put it? You put it on the front of the mouth, on the lips. On a horse, you put the harness over the lips. So we're borrowing from the horse, because the fish to a certain degree has a certain tzura as a horse. Its mouth comes forward, at least in the Leviathan. Who would dare come near its lips? There is no harness on the Leviathan, but it means the place where one would put a harness if one would be able to do so. And it's called kefil, because the lips are doubled. Who would come bechefel risno mi yavo? Who would come near? Pasuk hei mitzudos mi gila mi yorev libo. Who would dare attempt? Would be pleasant in it. Whose heart would find it pleasant? Lageshes elav to come near the Leviathan. Legalis malbusho to uncover its garment. Hanire la'ayin that is apparent to all. Who? What is that? Levush hakaskasim. This refers to the scales. We're going to focus on the scales many times. Asherhu mimal levush ha'or, which is on top of its skin. Be careful, risno retzalaymar. This term refers to the lips. Bisfasav hakifulim. Its lips, which are doubled. Ze al ze makom. What are the lips? It's the place where you would put a harness. Yasimu sham haresen al hasus. If this was a horse, you would put the harness. The amar b'loshon she'elu melitz. It's a borrowed expression. Kerashi. No, but the amar b'loshon she'elu. Loshon she'elu means it's a borrowed term. It doesn't literally make sense in this context. It's not a rhetorical question.
Umelitza. Even though it starts with me at the beginning.
No, but I, when he says the word resin, I think I know what you mean. That's the hey idea. Everything over here is a rhetorical question. Who would dare do so? But I think over here what he means, the word resin, because the word what resin is, maybe you're right, but I think another approach is, what is resin? Resin is a harness. The Leviathan is so mighty, no one would dare come put a harness. The place, the lips are the place where you would put a resin if theoretically it would be possible to harness the Leviathan, but that's ridiculous, because no one's going to come near the Leviathan. So the pasuk over here, just it's a borrowed term.
Zip it.
What?
Zip it.
Okay, all right, okay. The White House said, released a statement. Since when does the White House talk? The White House has a mouth. It's an expression. It's a borrowed term. I once had a whole argument was this idea of shalom bayis. So someone told me, I went told this many times. They told me that it's grammatically, he's on a crusade to go out to the whole world and tell the whole world that it's not shalom bayis, it's shalom bayis. Grammatically, according to the rules of grammar, it's the peace of the home. So so he convinced me. He brainwashed me. So I once spoke publicly and I said shalom bayis. So someone, a very big Tanochim, came with me and said, what is this? He said shalom bayis, shalom bayis. It's shalom bayis. And he said it's a pasuk in Iyov. V'yodata ki shalom ohalecha. When it's a command. See to it. It's a paraphrase of the pasuk. See to it that there is peace in your home. It's a command. The home does not naturally have peace. A home is a place of chaos. If you just let it, that's the way the world goes. The home is a place of, you have to work on it, that there should be peace in the home. It's based on the pasuk. Then he goes on to say, and besides that, it's an expression. And okay, he went on to tell me this idea with the White House. Okay, I'm getting a little off on a tangent, but not everything is to be taken a little. Let's go further. Pasuk Rashi. Rashi Pasuk, hey, mi gile p'nei levusho. Who would dare reveal the presence? Choyzer al harishaynais. Okay, Rashi. Rashi is making it very clear that we're going back to our previous discussion. We're going back to the Leviathan, because in the Leah, these last two psukim, we broke away Hashem, we described the concept of reward and punishment, and the seder of giving bracha, and then reciprocating. We broke away from the topic. Now we are returning to the topic of the Leviathan. Ledaber al Leviathan. Mi yuchol legalis kaskes kaskoshois shehein. Bekefel risno. Who would dare be able to reveal the scales which are along the doubleness of its harness? What does that mean? Bekefel sifasov. Referring to the lips. The lips are doubled. Kishehein pesuchos. When the lips are open. Mi hu yasher yikone shem. Who would dare go near it? it makes a lot of sense referring to a crocodile. Okay, the crocodile is a mashal for the Leviathan. Bekefel heim hasifasayim. The lips are doubled. Shehein kefulos achas lamal v'achas lamata. It's double, one up and one down. Shein b'riyei v'sholi konish sham ibnei imas. No creature would go near the opening of the mouth because of the fear one has in its presence. Pasik, yeah. Pasik dalet. Dal say pon of, there's a lot of repetition these next few psukim. Dal say fun of the doors of its face, ni pi teach, who would dear open, ni fis teach, sevivos shinov emo, around its teeth is terror. This makes a lot of sense when we refer to the crocodile, those vicious, those scary teeth, which appear when the crocodile opens up its doors. Okay, the mouth is called the doors, so it's basically a repetition of pasik hey. Mitzudas pasik vav, dal se panav, mi yiftach dal se panav. What are the dal se panav? Heim sefosav, these are the lips. Choasuyim liskov liftach, which are made to close and to open. Kedal se hapesach, like the doors of a home. Viyama beloshon she'ela. Okay, question mark. We'll follow your approach. Mi yiftach sefasav. Would anyone dare to open up its mouth? Losum sham haresen, to put upon the mouth a harness. Kasher yosimu besus, like one puts on a horse. Ki halos sevivos panav yesh ema, around its face. When one looks at those teeth, one is filled with ema. Umi yikrav elov, who would dare come near this ferocious creature? Rashi dal sepanav min hasfasayim kashu sagor piv, around the lips. One opens up its mouth, miyuchol lepaischan, who would be able to, when it closes its mouth, who would dare to open up? When this creature closes its mouth, who would dare attempt to open it up? It's too frightful. Sevivo shin of ema, asher mebnei pachto ve'emos, due to the terror of this creature, ein bria yuchol leskarev leshinov, no one would come near its teeth. Pasig zayin. Gava afike maginim sogur chosam tsar. The creature takes pride, it has arrogance. Afike means its might. Migonim shields, its mighty shields. The scales are the mighty shields. Sogur chosam tsar. They close up its flesh with a tight seal. This theme will be repeated in the next two psukim. The scales of the Leviathan are tightly pressed one against another, seemingly in contrast to other fish who have space. The scales are not. Anyone familiar with this? With different types of fish? It appears from the context of this passage that not all fish are the same. Fish that have scales, some of them are distant one from the other. They're not tightly pressed one next to the other. The Leviathan has the advantage that its scales are extremely tightly pressed one against the other, and that provides for it a greater degree of protection and strength. And that's what it says here. It takes pride, it has gaiva, in the fact, afike maginim, it has mighty shields. What is the might of the shields? That's sogur. Each shield is closed, chosam, as a seal, tsar, a narrow seal one against the other. Mitzudos, pasuk zayin. Gava, Rotzolomar, Yuchol Hiskos, this creature is able to take pride, im chosek hamaginim, with the might of its shields. Asher olav heim hakaskasim, upon this creature are scales, shehem olo lemogin, which serve as a shield, liskar, kol kaskeses, sogo vidovok, each scale is sealed, vidovok ba'oro, against its flesh, sesimo dechuka, it's pressed against the flesh with a seal, a pressed seal, she'en lozuz mimukama, which cannot be moved from its place. Rashi pasik.
Some species,
yeah,
that the scales fall out.
They fall out, so it's not so tightly pressed against the skin. This is sealed, it's pressed firmly against the skin.
They overlap. Normally, scales don't overlap.
Is that what it means over here? It doesn't say that they overlap. I don't know if it says overlap. It just says that they're pressed firmly against the skin. Let's look at Rashi. It's narrow. Narrow means there's no room.
Seal. Is a
seal that's narrow. There's no room to budge. There's no gap. It's a tight seal. There are no gaps. Other fish, the scales are not tightly pressed against the skin. They're not tightly pressed against another as they are by the Leviathan.
There's a difference between the kosher and the non-kosher fish.
Yes.
What do you mean? All, yeah.
Like the sharks, they don't have the same kind of scales like you see on a carp.
Yeah.
And those are, that's
sharks
the difference.
Don't have scales
the ones that you see on a carp is called that. tenoid scale. I forgot the name for the kind on the shark.
Shark doesn't have scales.
It does. It has like prickle in your face.
Yeah, it has sandpaper.
But it has a name. I don't know the biological name.
But halachically, they're not called scales, then. I don't know.
In biology, they call it scales.
They call it scales.
Different kinds.
Okay. So you have to know halacha, the parameters of halacha. Maybe they do have, I don't know the protein, but they're, the kosher simonim are the fins and scales. Okay, pasik zayin. Now there must be some significance in this, because if this is one of the simonim of kashrus for a fish, and in fact the Gemara says that any fish which has any fish which has one automatically has the other. Does anyone remember the Mamre Chazal?
If you have fins,
that's what it says, or it has scales.
If you have fins,
you automatically have scales. Then it doesn't work out. So why did the Torah say scales? Maybe it does work out. If it has fins, so it automatically has scales. So why then did the Torah mention scales? Lahagdil Toira ulahadira. In order to make Torah very great. So if you take that idea that the only reason why the Torah mentioned the scales, only for the concept lahagdil Toira ulahadira, it sheds new light on the Leviathan. Okay, if you don't learn Sefer Iyov, so you hear about this Leviathan, there's a Behemos. Now in Iyov, many people are shocked to discover there's a whole two parakim devoted to the Leviathan. And among the two parakim devoted to the Leviathan, there is an intense focus on its scales. And the Leviathan refers to the time of the coming of Mashiach, which we're going to see in Medrash in a few moments, what's going to happen with the Muhammad, the Behemoth, and the Leviathan. And what will happen during the time of Mashiach, we see today, Lahagdil Toira Ulahadira. So some of the pieces of the puzzle begin to fit together. Again, Chazal say any fish which has fins automatically have scales. So the Gemara's question is, so why then the Torah have to bother to mention that if the kosher simon of a fish are fins and scales? Let the Torah say the kosher simon for a fish are the fins. Automatically they have scales. So the Gemara says, you're right. There was no need for the Torah to write scales. Why then did it write scales? Lahagdil Toira ulahadira. What is the deeper meaning of that concept? That's subject to debate. That's subject to discussion. There are many commentators which give a different explanation what exactly that means. But now we learn Sefer Iyov, we see here we're focusing on the time of Mashiach, it's the Mashiach, the Milchama between the Behemos. There's going to be a battle between the Behemos and the Leviathan, and each one will slaughter the other. And when we describe this massive Leviathan, we focus very much on the scales. It's alluding to the fact that in the time of Mashiach, Lahagdil Torah Ulahadir, because this is the might of the fish. Let's go back. It's the Gav Afikim Oginav Sagu Chosam Tzar Pasuk Ches Echad BeEchad Yigashu. Now, simply this means one scale is tightly pressed against the other. And Pasuk Zayin, it seemed to say that the scales themselves are tightly pressed against the skin, against the meat, the flesh of the fish. Here it says in reference to the scales themselves, one is tightly pressed against the other. Echad be'echad yigashu, v'ruach lo yavo ve'nehem, and wind, air, or empty space does not come in between the scales. Pasik ches in the mitzudos. Echad kaskeses, echad nigash v'dovuk b'chavero, ad lo yavo ho'avir b'nehem. There is no air between the two. Rashi, ches. There is no Rashi. Okay, let me read you a very beautiful Medrash. The Medrash says, Echad be'echad yigashu, v'ruach lo yavoi b'neihem. Okay, this is from the Oitzer Mohammed Rashim, the Eisenstein edition. Okay, so he writes there that this Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Echad refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina. Echad, Be'echad yigashu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends His divine presence to the world or to a specific location, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself escorts His Shechina. We don't know, these are very mystical things, but that's Echad be'echad. Each Echad here refers to Hashem. Hashem accompanies His Shechina so that the kochos of Tumah should not interfere. The ruach here refers to the ruach of Tumah, or the ruach of the evil spirit. Let's see what this. I'll read you the exact words of this medrash. Melamed shekol mokem sheshchinasoi hoylechas. Whenever Hakadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence travels, hoylech Hakadosh Baruch Hu imo. Hashem travels with the Shechina. Kidei shelo yavoi ruach u'umois chas v'cholila v'yichalu es kneses Yisrael, so that the ruach of the umos ha'olam, of the nations, the spirit of the nation of the world, should not interfere and cause harm. Mashal l'melech shesholach matronisa, a king sends the queen. The king says the queen wants to travel to a faraway place in order to accomplish a mission. Let's say the queen, one of the children of the queen, was captured, and the queen is going to travel to the other end of the world to redeem her child. So the queen is going to travel. The king is worried. I can't let my queen travel to the other end of the world. She may come under attack. So you know what? I'm also going to go. When the queen goes, I go. The king is afraid to send her alone. Levada pen yifku ba oivrei derachim for hoylich gam kein hu ima. He travels with her. That's what it means. Echad be echad yigashu. So each word echad. So here, what it seems he's saying, according to the Medrash, is the Shechina represents is an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not Mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. That's a little bit hard to wrap around our head what that means. But the Shechina is an extension. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the Shechina for Klal Yisrael, for a mission, HaKadosh Baruch Hu escorts the Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is found there as well. Echad be'echad yigashu. One goes with one. Each echad here refers to a facet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echad, why? In order that the Shechina should not be under attack, yichlu, his words are, dissipate due to the koach of the umos olam. Okay, that, now there's another matter. Yeah.
It occurred to me in the feminine.
Yeah.
You hear that all the time.
Shechina
is
the
feminine.
Okay, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is.
That's how the analogy.
Okay, now there's another medrash which I don't have clarity. I'll just tell you the Rosh Prakim that this pasuk also is darshin vayigash elav Yehuda. When Yehuda approached Yosef, who was in Yosef in disguise, the Mishnah Lamelech, and in order to allow Binyamin to go home. So there was a battle. There was a world war about to take place. And that's what Chazal Darshan, Echad be'echad yigashu, both Echads, both Yosef and Yehuda were one in their own way. Yosef was the Bechar for Rachel, and Yehuda was the Melech for the children of Leah. Each one represents Malchus ben Melech, Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben David. And when those two met together, Vayigash Elav Yehuda Vayomar, Biadoni, they two came together. That was a very powerful moment of Ma'is Avos Simla Banim, and that over here is alluded to in this pasuk in the Medrash as well. Echad be'echad yigashu, each one which was one in their own right, they came close. Ruach lo yava binehem, and no one interfered with this. Okay, I'm not exactly sure how that ties into the Medrash. I have to see it inside. I don't know. It's a Tanchum Parsha Yigash, where this pasuk appears.
The confrontation appears. That's not what it means here necessarily, but I don't know. It might, but by Yigash, in that context, is a confrontation between two parties.
Okay.
And so they use this phrase as an example of that.
Okay, another interpretation, this is an important interpretation of what's going to happen to HaMashiach. The two echads refer to the behemos and the leviathan. And the time of Mashiach, there will be a battle between behemos and leviathan, and in the process, each one will kill the other. Let me read you the exact words of the Medrash. Dover Acher, this Medrash comes from Psikta Rav Kahana. Okay, so let me read you, it's a very fascinating Medrash. The ruach refers to the malachim. Let's see. Okay, the whole pasuk reads echad be'echad yigashu v'ruach lo yavo b'nehem elu ruach lo yavo b'nehem elu malachi hashares. The malachi hashares are called ruach. Why are they called ruach? Shenemar Ose malachov ruchos Hashem made his malachim as spirits, as winds. Okay, so what's going to happen in this pasuk? Referring to time of Mashiach, miyad, behemos, that we learned in the previous parak, the hippopotamus, the leviathan, the crocodile, midabkim ze'im ze', will engage one another. Shenemar, ish be'ochiv, yidubaku, each one will, that's the next pasuk, that's pasuk is pasuk test, that's a continuation. It's a continuation of echad b'yachad, they will engage one another. Umishahein midabkim zem zeh, and from the time that they engage one another, enam misparshim v'nifradim zemizeh, they will not separate. Shenemar, okay, this is the end of the next pasuk we have yet to learn in a few moments. Yis lakadu v'lo yisparadu, they will lock into one another, they will cleave one into another, and they will not separate. Mo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what will the Kadosh Baruch Hu do at this moment in time when the two are engaging one another, the Leviathan and the Behemos? Roimez la Leviathan, Hashem will hint. It's not clear what this means. Hashem will influence the Leviathan to make a certain move. Okay, to make some type of sophisticated battle move. There's going to be a battle plan. V'humake es habehemos basanpirin v'shochato. And through this move, one of the scales of the Leviathan will cut through the behemos and slaughter the behemos. What?
Snapir.
The fins. One of the fins, right? One of the fins will cut in the neck, in the place of Mokam Shrita, the behemos. The roivis, now while the behemos is quivering and it's dying from this, from its injury, from the shchita that has taken place through the fin of the Leviathan, the roimeitz la behemos, Hashem will hint, will influence the behemos to move humake la Leviathan bezinavoi. The tail of the behemoth, which we learned in the previous parak, is a very mighty tail. It's like iron. It hardens. It's hard. It becomes extremely hard. Will hit biznavo umimisei and will kill the Leviathan. So each one will kill the other. The Leviathan will kill the behemoth with its fin as a shchita, and the behemoth will kill the Leviathan with its tail. Miyad Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mahu Ois. At that moment, what will Hakadosh Baruch Hu do? Noitel Oyro Shel Leviathan. Hashem will flay the skin of the Leviathan. The Ois says Sukkah La Tzadikim and make it as a canopy for Tzadikim. Shel Siv Hasamale. We're going to. That's what we learned yesterday. Hasamale V'Sukkos Oyro. Do you have the ability to fill up your desire by taking the hide of the Leviathan and fashioning a canopy? Uvitziltzal Dagim Rosho, and taking the skin of the head of the fish and making a shade. Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, Hakoyin, Rav Yehuda, Halevi, Rav Yitzchalom, Oymrim, Echad Mehem, Oymam, Makishim, Bitziltzal, V'Oymer. Okay, then the other interpretations are basically, they go on to say that at that point in time, the tzaddikim will come forward and they will derive benefit from the meat of the behemos and from the meat of the Leviathan. And all of that is alluded to here in these psukim, where Echad b'Echad Yigashu, the two mighty creatures will battle one another. And now we read a pasuk test, Ish b'Yachihu Yidu Baku, each one will cleave to the other, Yis Lakidu, they will engage, they will become locked one in another, V'lo Yis Baradu, and they will not separate. That is the Medrash alluding to Yimos HaMashiach, and they have to plug into this Chazal. What do these two creatures represent? Besides the literal interpretation that we're dealing with a hippopotamus and a crocodile, or we're dealing with some real monster, it represents the forces of good and the forces of evil. As we mentioned, according to Rav Schwab elaborates that the behemos represents tzaddikim and the Leviathan represents rishoyim. That's one approach.
The Medrash says both will die. So there's no good and bad.
Okay, so it's very mysterious. What these are, the mysteries of the world. I'm just throwing out. The Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara will no longer exist. The only reason why there's a Yetzer Tov is because there's a Yetzer Hara. When there's no Yetzer Hara, so the Yetzer Tov is not needed. So these forces at the end of days will cease to exist. The Tzaddikim and the Rishon, they will engage one another and they will cancel one another, and then the world will exist in a different dimension that we do not understand. Or if you want to say the Leviathan refers to energy and matter, according to, I think, the Gross, says this, that the Leviathan refers to energy, and the Behemoth says matter. And matter without energy is worthless. Energy without matter is worthless. The accomplishments occur when you are able to bring together matter with energy. At the end,
Einstein says that the energy is matter.
You can convert one to the other?
Yeah.
So maybe he means this idea where the converting process is taking place. There's some type of process.
This is the atom bomb. That's all.
Okay, so there is some, that's what the Gross says. We don't know, that's what you want to say, the battle of Leviathan versus the Behemoth means is the world will be destroyed through a nuclear war, Chas Shalom. Who knows what's going to be, but the Gra, I believe, does say this very powerful concept. Leviathan is a mushal for energy, the Behemoth is a mushal for matter, and here the Pasuk says, Ish b'yachil yidu baku, they come together, and yislakidu, they're trapped one into the other, v'lo yisporadu, and that creates a reaction. What is the reaction? Beyond our pay grade. Maybe not mine, I don't know about yours, but it's something which is very, very deep. These are the great mysteries of the world. Now let's take a look over here at the simple interpretation. The Mitzvah does not go into these very deep ideas. He just says very simply, we're discussing the scales. Ish b'yachiv yidu baku. The scales are tightly connected one to the other. There is repetition. Again, the scales are being repeated over and over again. It fits very nicely with this idea, lahagdil Torah lahadira. If you want to go learn, I'm sure you'll find some commentators that will tell you that Leviathan is not such a bad guy. Not like Rav Schwab, that it's a marshal for the Rishayim. The Leviathan is a creature that lives in the water. Water is symbolic of Torah. Hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. The Leviathan lives in the water. And the Leviathan has scales. And the scales are its shields. Tzadikim are making on the generation. They protect. And the Psukim tell us here, describe in great detail the mighty protection that the Tzadikim provide for this world, how these scales are firmly attached to the R, and how they're connected, they interlock one into the other. Ish b'yachil yidu baku, yislakdu v'lo yisparadu, pasik tes in the mitzudos, ish kol echad, each one is dova, cleaves, b'chaveroi, v'heimo luchudim v'nechazim ze b'ze, they are interlocked one to the other, v'lo yisparadu, v'kofel hadover pa'amayim v'shalosh, this concept of discussing the scales, at least according to the interpretation of the mitzudos, is repeated three times, three psukim, l'goydel hadibuk ul'haflogas hamalitza, in order to express the intensity of its connection, and for the to bring out the mushal, the expression, to the greatest degree possible. Pasik tes, yislakadu v'lo yisparadu, adayim koifel l'shaynai, it's still doubling its tongue. Its tongue, kishenil kodos v'nechodos kol achas v'yachas b'chaverta shlotiyena mispardos zo mizo. Now, seemingly, according to, I don't know, Rashi is saying the same thing as the Mitzudos, or Rashi is saying something entirely different. The Mitzudos is clearly describing the scales. Rashi seems to be talking about its mouth. Its mouth, the lashon, its tongue. Koifel l'shoinoi, its tongue is still doubled over. Does this refer to the lips? I don't know. L'shoinoi is its tongue, its mouth. It's nulkodos v'ne'echodos kol achas v'achas v'chaverta, each one against the other. Shlo tiena mispardo zomizo, one part of its mouth should not be separated from the other part of its mouth. I don't know exactly what it refers to. Now, Pasik Yud. Now, according to Rav Meir, that you want to say this represents the atomic bomb, a nuclear reaction, it's very frightening what the next Pasik says. The next Pasik describes the Leviathan, simply according to the Mitzudos, according to the Mitzudos, describing only the Leviathan, and the Leviathan is going to sneeze. It needs a Gesundheit. It's going to sneeze. So when it sneezes, what happens? Ati Shosaf. When it sneezes, Tohel Or, it produces a bright light. Tohel means a ray of light. The Einov, and its eyes, the eyes of the Leviathan, Ki'af Ape Shachar, are like the light of the morning. Now, let's learn one thing at a time, some very interesting concepts. We know that when a person sneezes, it is humanly possible to open your eyes. Right? That is a scientific fact. It is impossible, next time you sneeze, take note if your eyes are open or your eyes are closed. a scientific fact, it is impossible to open your eyes when you sneeze. Right?
I don't know.
When you sneeze, notice next time you sneeze, you will note where Hashem made a human being. When a person sneezes, the eyes are tightly extremely, the muscles, this is the way the brain is wired. The brain is wired with the eyes closed with the greatest intensity possible. And that is why you say gesundheit. This fits very nicely into the Maimon Chazal that in ancient times, when a person would sneeze, they would die. Why? Because the opening of the eyes represents life. Closing of the eyes represents death. The Yosef Yoshes Einov Olecha. Hashem gave a bracha to Yaakov that when you will die, your son Yosef will put his hands upon your eyes. You close the eyes of a dead person. When the person dies, the eyes close. Coming to life, a child is born, represents the opening is life. The eye is the window to the neshama. The opening of the eyes is life. When a person sneezes, this is a sign of death. Because the eyes close, not just close, they shut close with intensity. So, and indeed, that's the way it was before people got sick, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this thing called sickness. When it came a time for a person to die, they would sneeze and cause the eyes to shut, but on a deeper level cause the neshama, which are connected to the eyes, to shut down and to depart this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Avos were Mespalel, I don't remember which one, that it's not a good idea for a person to suddenly die. A person needs to make preparations. It's not Derech HaOlam. So Hashem granted, I don't know, it was Yaakov, or Avraham, I don't remember, Yaakov, that request. V'hinei avicha choleh. Right, he was told, what's v'hinei? V'hinei always means something strange. Never happened before. The first, Menashe, came and told Yosef, Hine, something strange. Avicha choleh, your father is ill. This never happened before in the history of the world for a person to become ill. When a person died, they just died. 1, 2, 3. Hine, it's a new occurrence. When a person sneezed, he didn't die. That's why we give a bracha, gesundheit, person should have died at this moment in time, and now he's alive, so you give a person the bracha, asusa, health, good health, you should be gesund, you should be alive, fine. Here it says that the Leviathan defies this mitzias, an amazing pasuk. Ati shoysaf, tahel ar, when the Leviathan sneezes, a bright light shines, and now what would you think? And its eyes are closed. No. Its eyes are alive. Its eyes are filled with light. The ena of the eyes of the Leviathan, ke afape shochar, are like, afape means light. It means the pupil. Okay, the pupil of the eye, shochar, but it's an expression. I don't know exactly how it translates over. The pupil of the morning. Shochar means the morning. In the morning when the sun rises, there's a bright light. There's nothing like sunrise, right? It's like fresh. When the sun rises, that bright light, the pupil of the morning, which means a bright light. What are you talking about? When you sneeze, you close your eyes. There is no light. This is what's going to change at the time of the Mashiach. When Mashiach comes and the Leviathan engage echad bi echad, according to the deeper meaning of these sukkim, when one will engage the other, the behemos will battle the Leviathan, and one will kill the other, and they will not be separated. Mashiach is here. There's no such thing anymore as death. Even at the moment of extreme death, of sneezing, which is the shoresh of Misa, there is the brightest light. The brightest light means the eyes are brightly open, there is life. The concept of death, the mitzias of death, doesn't exist anymore.
Were you talking about 1,000 years?
Alright, these, I'm just throwing out, then there's 1,000 years, the Tchias HaMesim, one Tchias HaMesim, another Tchias HaMesim. These are mysteries. We're just looking over here at a very teeny little slice. To put everything together, take all the Mamari Chazal, and to make a story of what's going to... People have tried this many times. I have many books at home that have tried to take these Mamari Chazal. They even have Choshva Haskamis, Rav Chaim Knievsky Shlita, and other Gedolei Yisrael give Haskamis. They take every Mamari Chazal they found, and they make out of it a story of exactly what's going to happen. It's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Something doesn't add up. You read all the something doesn't. And listen, the Rambam says, don't spend your time on this. No one knows. Who'd ever imagine this thing called the ISIS, Islamic State, ISIS? Whoever would imagine? Yeah, I don't have enough problems on it. Hezbollah, Al Qaeda, Hamas, PLO. All of a sudden, we have a new. Who would ever imagine a new player, middle of nowhere? We don't know how things are going to play out. We thought we have it all down. We know all the players. We're holding the Ixon, the Mashiach. All of a sudden, there's a new card in the stack. We don't know how things are going to play out. These are very big mysteries. Just focus on the little dots. And this is an amazing, amazing pasuk. Now, Rabbi Meir, you have opened up an amazing insight that you want to say that according to Einstein, I'm not familiar with any of these ideas, but you want to say that matter and energy, the conversion of matter and energy, an atomic bomb, and the Leviathan, according to the Gra, that the Behemos is matter and Leviathan is energy, and when the two come together, you can release a force of energy, a force of power of destruction that's beyond man's wildest imagination. That's exactly what the next pasuk says. This combination of when one engages the other with matter and energy, engage one another and they convert one to another, it causes an explosion which we would define as a sneeze. The earth will sneeze. The ati shosof, the sneeze of this union, tohelar, produces a bright light, right? And that's what an atomic explosion is. You can go mushroom cloud. You go blind from the That's what science fiction movies at least seem to show.
But there is a superstition.
Yeah.
The idea is that a dead person, the last thing he sees is recorded in his eye.
The last thing he sees recorded in his eyes. Interesting.
So for years, these parapsychologists are trying to be able to get the picture out of his eye to see
yeah.
the best thing he saw.
He saw Shemayim. Saw
a person in the room, whatever.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So this is an amazing insight. I mean, your idea is really amazing. What you're saying over here, it's a bright enough and the his eyes, the eyes. Now, how does that fit into this idea when these two things come together? Bright morning light. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Mitzudos, the similar interpretation of this pasuk test. Ati shaysof hahevel. Okay, the ear, the hevel is the hot ear. Hayotze mimenu be'etz ha'itush, with sneezing. When the Leviathan sneezes, symbol interpretation. The Mitzudos is not discussing any engagement. He's discussing symbol, the Leviathan, the crocodile. A massive crocodile in a pond somewhere in the Nile gives out a sneeze. What happens? The hevel, hayotze mimenu be'etz ha'itush, tizrach or causes light to shine. What does that mean? Kol kach gover b'yichoyim hativi. It's a hot creature. The Leviathan defies the nature of fish. Fish are cold creatures. Right? Isn't that a reality? Fish are cold. Animals, cold-blooded. What?
Cold-blooded.
They're cold-blooded.
The crocodiles are also.
Yeah, so the crocodile is your model for the dragon.
So it can't then be
dragon.
It's a dragon. It says here that it's a fire breath. Fish, right? Whales, all these sea creatures, they're cold blooded, right?
Yeah, whales are mammals, they're warm blooded.
They are warm blooded. Okay, so are cold blooded. So it's an amazing thing. Here it says that it has some natural body heat. It has a high temperature. Right? As if its natural body heat was filled with fire, as if lightning comes out of its nostrils, even this defies nature. It defies the nature of all of the fish. Even though most fish are cold, this creature is not like other creatures. It is hot. The cracks of its eye are wide. Umashirim kibikias hashachar, and it bursts forth with light like the morning light, like the rays of dawn burst forth, the rays of sunrise, they burst forth through the morning sky. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi describes this as well. Pasuk Yud atishosav tohil ar b'cholatishav yatisha shehu mis. Every sneeze that it sneezes, Yohel v'tizrach or bright light comes forth. Tohel kamo bohalo nero, his light will shine. The einav ke'afape shachar, einav zorchos, its eyes shine, umi'irois kidam dumecham, like the ball of the sun. The eyes of this dragon are bright like the ball of the sun. Kemola a spoke in the morning, shashemesh mis ademes, like in the morning the sun has a reddish hue. This is what it looks like, this creature. Okay, pasuk yud aleph, continue going, just describing in very great detail this creature. Mipiv, from the mouth of the Leviathan, lapidim yahalechu, torches burst forth. Kidore esh yismalotu, sparks of fire yismalotu, branch off, drip off this creature. Pasuk it off the mitzudos. Lapidim yis haloichu meroiv choyim hatevidu, to its intense heat yichumam hahevel piv, the heat of its mouth goes forth kiilu lapide esh holchem mipiv, as if torches of fire going forth from its mouth kiilu nitzaitzas nishlochem imenu, it's as if sparks are flying from it v'chafel hadavel haflogas, in the repetition in order to bring out the point that it is a ferocious, terrifying creature that is filled. Yeah, it's a dragon. That's what it appears to be to some degree. Rashi pasuk yud aleph, mipiv melaheves hayoytzes menu, from the flame which goes forth from it. Mipiv lapidim yahalechu, lapidim yoytzes mipiv, flames go forth from its mouth. Kidurei esh, sparks of fire. Kmo lapidim yis malotu pisroinoi lefi inyono. Yismalatu means here to escape, and here it's translated according to the context, whatever those words mean, which mean it just falls off, it shoots forth from this creature. Pasuk Yibes, min chira, from its nostrils, yetse oshon kidud nafuach ve'agmon. A dud is a pot. An agmon, in this context, is also a pot, a certain type of pot that's bubbling over, that's boiling hot. Steam, like steam, rises from a pot that is bubbling. So that's what this creature looks like from its nechira, from its nostrils. Steam goes forth, just like a dud nofuach, a bubbling pot, and an agmon, another type of pot which is bubbling and steaming. Pasuk Yibes in the Mitzudos, minichirav hahevel hayotzei minichirav, from its nostrils, hu rov, is enormous. Venira ke'oshana, looks like the steam, legoidel hachoim, due to its intense heat, bedoyme hu el hahevel hayotzei min hadud v'cho agmon, like these two pots, kishayiyeh nofuach when umartiach, when they are bubbling and steaming, shema. At this point, it brings forth abundance of steam. Rashi pasuk yud beis minichira, from its nostrils, yotze oshan kisir nafuach, like a pot that is bubbling, aloesh shemal oshan, which brings forth steam. Ve'agmoin pisroinai, Rashi seems to acknowledge agmon is an unusual word that does not appear in other places, and therefore we have no choice but to translate it based upon the context of where it appears. And since it appears here together with a dud, which is clearly a pot, so we have no choice but to assume that an agmon is another type of ancient pot which we may not be familiar with. Pisroinai lefin yano, loshon kli cheresu. What?
Didn't we just have that word?
Hook. We had it in reference to a hook. A hook. But what, a hook doesn't bring up steam. So we have to say that it's probably a pot in the shape of a hook. It's a certain type of pot in the shape of a hook. I don't know. Rashi says that
there was Lefinyano.
There was the context. It was a fisherman. You were fishing for the Leviathan. You were sending down hooks. So
maybe it's a pot for fish.
Well, maybe it's a pot that has the shape of a hook. It looks like a hook. A different type of pot.
Yeah.
a spout on top. Minachanani, pisroin lefi inyana loshen kli cheresu is a type of earthenware pot. Kimo dud nafuach, like it says here in this pasuk, dud nafuach, a bubbling pot. Can you shnemar sir nafuach ani roya? We have Yirmiya had a mara, had a vision that there was a pot that was bubbling. All right, we'll have to stop over here with pasuk Yud Gimel.